Next item. Public comment. This is Mr. Bender.
Oh.
Okay, he's here.
The blue sheet being handed out to you this time is public comment on two pound nets that were applied for. Mr. Arthur P. Bender. I covered both of those today. Just for background, especially for our new members, since 1994, the number of pound net licenses has been capped at 161. Pound net placement can be at most locations in general, unless there's substantial evidence of significant impact to those items that are listed in subsection 20C of chapter 25 cannot be met. So, reasonable and permissible uses of state waters, marine and fishery resources of Commonwealth, if there's a conflict, tidal wetland conflict, adjacent and nearby property conflict, issues with water quality being affected, or issues with conflicts with submerged aquatic vegetation, SAV. Mr. Bender has two pound nets that have been protested. We have proposed pound net site number one to the south, to the southwest corner of Fisherman's Island, which is on the very southern tip of the eastern shore, and site number two, which is toward the northwest side, where there is already a series of pound nets in that area. There are actually six approved pound net sites in the area of pound net site number two. This is a little close-up of where site number one would be, to the south of Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel on the southwest side of Fisherman's Island. Based on the coordinates that were provided, it would extend from right at the beachfront out approximately 1,082 feet. Site number two is approximately 3,500 feet to the southwest of the Little Bridge at Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and that is basically, many people know, the Little Bridge is the little bridge right here as you get on the island and get ready to go to the big bridge. That proposed pound net here in red is about 937 feet. Now, you'll notice that it is in line with another series of pound nets that are already in existence in that area. We have quite a few concerns in the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, Eastern Shore of Virginia's National Wildlife Refuge Office, that we want to go over today. They are the only protestant of the two pound nets. They have made note in the letter that's before you that pound nets adjacent to the refuge are a management headache to them. They say staff time is diverted from their mission and activities to monitor permit compliance, that conditions change in the location of the pound net, and sometimes the leader is moved above the low tide mark onto refuge property, that they have species of high concern, including loggerhead, green, leatherback, hawksbill, and Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, all of which are federally listed, threatened, or endangered. And they have additional concerns about protected shorebird colonies adjacent to the pound net site, and that was specifically noted in their letter to us. To go that more in detail, what we've highlighted here in reference to where the pound net sites are, what the Wildlife Services provide us is locations for American oyster catches, ex-oyster catchers. It hasn't been a long day, has it? Their nesting sites to the north side of the island, and on the southern side of the island, nesting sites for piping plovers, red knots, and again, American oyster catchers. Now, their nesting activities, the staff has noted to us, is from about March through July. Their concerns that the American oyster catcher is primarily on both the northern and southern extremities of the Fisherman's Island. They say this is a species of special concern. It nests, it forages, and it winters near and on this area, near pound net number one and pound net number two. They also have concern about piping plovers. This is a federally listed threatened species. This nests on the island's southern side. This is right close to pound net number one. And also red knot, a federal candidate endangered species. Y'all have heard it frequently when we've talked about horseshoe crabs. This species commonly uses the southern and eastern length of the island, and oftentimes is feeding and resting adjacent to where pound net site number one is. They further in their letter talked about human-related activities around the island, including commercial fishing, that result in disturbances to the nesting shorebirds. They talk about how during migration, this disturbance may result in reduced food intake of the shorebirds increased energy expenditure, and the abilities of the birds to build fat reserves for their migration south. They said during incubation and chick rearing, disturbances may result in nest abandonment, increased predation of unattended eggs or chicks, stresses to chicks, and also increased vigilance from the parents to the surrounding activities, which then may reduce their activity checking on the chicks and getting food. They also noted in the final part of the letter before you that Fisherman's Island is also, it's not just a National Wildlife Refuge, but is one of only 17 sites in the U.S. classified as a wetland of international importance. So when we reviewed the PoundNet application and went through everything, the only thing under Chapter 25 that obviously became the issue was adjacent nearby properties having a conflict. And as we indicate on the map and based on the information the Wildlife Service has provided to us, their concerns are about the American oyster catcher nest to the north and the combined nests that are to the south of the plovers, red knots, and the oyster catchers. So at this time, staff recommends the denial of proposed PoundNet site number one. Again, that is the one to the southwest in this area. Now, Mr. Bender expresses interest in proposing a PoundNet further offshore to avoid any of the potential negative impacts that have been pointed out by the Wildlife Service. We would be supportive of the Commission considering that. For site number two, though, this is the one up here to the northwest, staff recommends approval. It is in line with other existing PoundNets, which has already been set in precedent. These range for some that are right up to the beachfront, and these that are extending a little further offshore near the channel that runs under the little bridge. So of the two, we recommend denial here on one with hope of compromise, and on two, recommending approval. With that, sir, that is a presentation by staff.
Any questions of Joe?
The gentleman was here last meeting. Didn't he appear before us last meeting?
I can't recall.
That was his brother.
His brother.
That was a different Mr. Bender.
And I will say the protestant is represented. Ms. Susan Rice is here from the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay.
And she is here.
Mr. Bender, do you wish to speak to us?
Do I speak after Ms. Rice? Or
you can do both if you want. So you want to just wait?
I don't have anything to say at the moment.
Okay. All right, then don't say anything because you're not being recorded at this point.
You have to come up to the mic.
You come to the mic and
you want to come to the mic and tell us you don't have anything to say at the moment?
Well, I don't have anything to add at the moment. Oh, Arthur Bender? I don't have anything to add at the moment. Are there any concerns or questions that the commission might have that I could answer beyond what Joe?
Mr. Tankard has a question.
I have a question. I mean, it seems to me you do most of your work from a boat.
Correct.
And I'm trying to understand the Fish and Wildlife's concern about the nesting birds on the beach, where that conflict comes in. I'm understanding your side of that conflict. So what?
Well, as far as any conflict, I mean, we're going to, when we fish, we're at the very end of the line. That's where the pound actually is. So we're actually, the daily activities that we would have are well off the beach, you know, roughly a thousand feet or so. That's normally where we're at, in a little outboard. You know, I don't feel like there's any impact. That's just my personal opinion. I don't see how we would hurt any nesting birds or by our daily activities. Now, when we drive the trap, when we drive the poles, you know, you go right on up to the beach to the low water mark. Now, in interest, try to save a little bit of time, I did speak with Ms. Rice for a second to see if I could, you know, provide a little bit of a buffer, you know, so there isn't any headaches as far as monitoring whether my fish trap hole is on the line or beyond the line. I would be glad to go a little bit further off the beach just to leave any questions as to whether or not the beach changes or whatever. I would be glad to move the trap a little bit further off in the low water, or the low water part.
When you say move it a little bit, what do you mean?
Well, a reasonable buffer. I don't think the beach changes all that much, you know, 25 feet, you know, something where we didn't have to worry about the about it changing, you know, overnight or within a year. And as far as when we drive the trap, we're there for about an hour, you know, once a year, barring a storm or something. I mean, yeah, if we have a terrible storm, we'd be back there to repair the inshore end of the trap. But other than that, we're just there. Well, we're there when we drive the pole, and then we're back there again when we hang the net to the pole. So I'm sorry, we're there twice on the inshore end. The rest of the activity during the period of the year is on the offshore end.
So, Mr. Brenner, you're saying then you'll have a pole on the end of yours. You won't have an anchor. I've seen the anchors have been sort of around the bay's watershed here.
Right. Well, I'm willing to use an anchor.
Well, no, I just want to make sure I understand what you're planning on using.
Anchor or a pole, would just, I guess it just depends. I intend to drive a pole leader, and maybe the very last, if a anchor is more environmentally friendly, I'd be glad to put an anchor on the very end. You know, it's pretty flexible.
Any other questions?
Quick question.
So
is the location of that, the pole, the only issue regarding her concern of her monitoring permit compliance? Are there any other issues regarding?
I think we're going to hear from her momentarily.
Oh, okay. I'll wait. Ask her that.
Okay.
All right. And then you'll be able to respond to anything that you hear from during the public hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This is a public hearing on this. Ms. Rice?
I'd like to say good morning, but good afternoon. my name is Susan Rice, and I'm the manager at the Eastern Shore of Virginia National Wildlife Refuge and Fisherman Island as well. Appreciate the opportunity to talk today, and I say that Mr. Griff did a great job in his presentation on what our concerns are. I obviously agree with the staff recommendation on the southern, what I call net proposal number one, which is a denial of that. There are no other pound nets in this location at this time. These animals have basically a maze to work through. If people see the pound nets, they can make their way around them because they can visually see them. We have five species of sea turtles that we find, which are either endangered, four of them are endangered, one is a threatened species, that we find commonly stranded dead on the refuge. Well, around the length of the refuge, there's in this area down here, they're right off in here. There's oftentimes bottlenose dolphins in this area. Again, we have an endangered species that is nesting in this area, piping plover. We have a candidate species, a red knot, which uses this length coming around here as a feeding, and then American oyster catcher, which we have large numbers of nests in this area. So my recommendation would be to go ahead and deny this, which is what your staff recommendation is. If you have questions, do you want me to go on to the next net or questions to this net?
Mr. Cecil.
The same question I asked a second ago. You're talking about monitoring permit compliance. What would you be monitoring?
So the other nets that we have on the island, their anchors are, and I don't know the difference between an anchor and a pole, I'm sorry, but there's a post. There's several posts that are above in very dry areas. And so we have worked with the MRC in the past to try to delineate where the mean low is, so it's outside of our jurisdictional area, which we've had trouble, you know, just doing that, finding out, being able to put a line in the sand to say, you know, beyond this point, you know, it's our jurisdictional area. So that is one of the concerns.
Once you get that point, though, where you make that determination, will that pretty much be the end of it?
Well, no, again, as far as our time is concerned.
Right.
As far as our staff time.
Staff time.
Yes. You know, as far as just keeping it within those areas. This is an island that accretes. So that does, and it accretes, I mean, it's significant. So I don't know from year to year, you know, whether that would need to be looked at. Obviously, the bridge tunnel is a sand trap, so it does affect the size and shape and movement of the island.
Thank you.
Mr. Plumlee.
Does it alleviate your concerns for the net to be moved offshore 25 feet, 30 feet beyond the mean low?
As far as our management is concerned, so it's sort of a two-part answer. As far as compliance, that I would go further than 25 feet just because of the movement of the island. But in addition, though, again, all these species that use that area, it's a fairly, you can see that there's a pond, like a cat-eye pond right here. So there's just a lot of feeding and movement that happens in there. So as far as staff time is concerned, moving it off would alleviate some of that problem. But as far as the species are concerned, my concerns stand steady. Piping plovers, we've been talking in 500,000 for certain things like horseshoe crabs. We've been talking millions of pounds for striped bass today. So to try to put that in a little bit of perspective, in the Endangered Species Recovery Act, what we're looking for the entire population is 2,000 breeding pairs. In that 2,000 breeding pairs, they have four areas that they nest. The southern unit, which is from Delaware to North Carolina, so a fairly large area. What the Endangered Species Act, what they're projected is that they would like to have 400 nests in that southern area, which is, again, from Delaware to North Carolina. 200 nests at this point, 400 nests is what the one of the things that we're looking at in order to get this animal off the endangered species list. Right now, we only meet that at about halfway in that four-state area, 250, somewhere in there. It changes from year to year. So just to try to put that in perspective of what we're talking about.
But you wouldn't consider it, with moving the net off the beach a little further, it wouldn't create, in your mind, the safety for the species or the distance from the species to alleviate your concerns about its ability to nest in that area. Do you understand the question?
Not quite.
I guess pulling, one of the suggestions, we pull the net off the beach.
Correct.
Okay. But you're saying that does not...
That would certainly be help, yes.
It helps.
As far as the piping plover is concerned, yes. As far as the other species are concerned, no, because they're waterborne, species.
Okay.
But as far as the piping plover is concerned, yes. The Recovery Act talks about disturbance. When they talk about disturbance, they're looking at different things, not so much commercial watermen, but they use a 50-meter distance to reduce that disturbance. However, I suggested that in the last time when Mr. Bender's brother was here, but that was not considered, I guess. Maybe it was considered but denied. So, is there any more questions on that first net?
Let me ask one question.
Sure.
In your opinion, does leaving either of these nets where they're proposed to be in any way violate the Endangered Species Act?
That's outside of my... Does it violate? Then I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that question.
That's fine. I asked the question to see if we can get an answer. Right.
But I would say,
you have other things.
I'll just leave it at that. I won't give you my opinion.
Do you have other things to say about net number
sure.
two?
Net number two. So one of the things that was said is that we have six nets here now. We have six proposed nets, but only really one or two active nets. Just to, again, be clear on that. This area in here where we see these shoals, this area in here is used quite heavily by a lot of different species for feeding because it's really rich in invertebrates and things like that. And so my concern in this area is not so much for the piping plover because that's quite a distance. But not only for American oyster catchers, but for a large number of species using this area for feeding during migration, also during breeding. So again, you know, that would be a disturbance having that leader or having that net in that area. My recommendation would be to, you know, I shouldn't say this out loud, but you know, my preference would be to have no nets. And I know I'm talking to, you know, Marine Fisheries Commission, but you know, obviously I have a different job. But my recommendation would be to move it away from the shoals.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Rice? Thank you. Appreciate
and is there a
comment.
Carrying capacity to the number of nets that can we have all in one, like all together like this? I mean, I know there's 161 for the state, but I'm just talking about. For
I don't think we know the answer to that. I'm certain there is a carrying capacity that the. You know, with respect to state law, they're required to be 900 feet apart. And I suspect that's we've maxed out on that. If you place that red one in there, you won't be able to fit another net illegally along that shore there. So, I mean, that's a form of carrying capacity that's set by the General Assembly.
And again, you know, this is one of 17 wetlands of international importance designated by the United Nations.
Yeah. Thank you. That's important. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Seeing none, Mr. Bender, you have an opportunity to respond to anything you heard, and then we'll take action. While you're coming up, question for staff. Are either of these two nets, based on their location, required to have the special leaders that protect turtles and dolphins?
Under the present.
Come up the.
Under the present rule, no. In fact, the other vendor, that was one of his questions during the public comment period last month. Since that time, I've talked to the person that really heads this up down in Florida, and she indicated that our take reduction team won't meet probably until the spring of next year. And I know they want to change the definition of the inshore net.
So because these are so close to shore, they're exempt from the exactly. Special leaders.
Exactly. Okay. Because right now the definition totally relies on your proximity to the.
What is that distance?
It's not very. It's not much. Yeah. They have to be very, very close.
Okay.
And they either want to incorporate or altogether alter the definition to really reflect the depth of the water at the king pole at the end of it. I think they'll probably incorporate both of those.
Okay.
As
thank you.
So close to shore, plus it can't be deeper than that.
Mr. Bender?
It's my intention to use a modified leader in both of those locations. That's all I fish with. They seem to catch just as well as a standard leader. And that alleviates any problems with turtles, I believe, at least as far as, I mean, I think I've never seen a turtle entangled in a modified leader.
That's what they're intended for. Just for the benefit of the new commission members, this modified leader that we're talking about is designed to prevent turtles from getting entrapped and suffocating. And to some degree, I guess there's some evidence that it helps prevent bottlenose dolphin entanglement.
So you would make that part of your application?
Anything else, Mr. Bender?
Nothing else to add.
Any questions, Mr. Tanker?
And what about the going offshore? You mentioned a certain amount of feet offshore on that number one. You want to?
Yeah, well, it would be just as much of a headache for me to drive a stake or put an anchor and then have to go move it. I would rather, if we designate that X marks the spot, I'm not going to go right to the very edge of it. I mean, I'd be glad to, again, stay 25 feet away from it or something like, you know, just I wouldn't even measure it, but just a good distance away. If the mark is there, I'd put the end of my leader here, you know, just so that if the beach does change, I don't get a call and have to move something. But God forbid there was a
terrible storm and the high water mark is changed, I'll certainly move it. But I don't want to have that headache either. So I'll be glad to. It's not my intention to go right to the very inch, you know, the very edge of where I'm. You know, I'll stay away from that mark. Use good common sense, in other words.
Okay.
Any other questions? What's the pleasure? Thank you, Mr. Bender.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's the pleasure of the commission?
I'd like to make a comment about this proposed number one. My position is I'm not going to vote to support that net. I think I would, with the information that's been provided with all the species that are at issue, I don't want to grant this one, even if he pulls it offshore a bit, and then be hearing another application in a short period, you know, down the road, and we've already got one there, and you're starting to see this little movement around the island with these nets. I think I'd rather say yay to two and no to one, even with, and the applicant's been very fair in a discussion of it all, but I'd rather just keep it off that side of the bridge, I guess.
Any other comments? Just real quick.
I believe that the distance from here to, you know, it's over a quarter mile. Of course, you have the bridge there with all of its traffic. I don't think a pine net is all that much of a danger to the birds, but that's, of course, my opinion.
Where are we?
Well,
Mr. Fox?
As it relates to pound nets, I believe we are almost obligated to grant them at most locations as long as we're under the 161 limit.
I think what you're getting at is the fact that prior to the adoption of our regulations,
yes,
the General Assembly laid out very minimal requirements for,
yes,
the setting of pound nets. And quite frankly, it was you have to stay 900 feet away from another pound net.
Right.
And you can pretty much put it anywhere.
Right.
As long as you satisfy that.
So we are torn with that.
With that very minimal requirement.
Exactly. Versus the possible adverse.
I know, and you know, just looking back in the past, some of the past decisions of the commission on these, we have certainly not allowed pound nets to be set in areas where it hampers navigation.
Right.
Along the shore, we've not allowed them to be set in the middle of an SAV bed.
Right.
So
we have applied some restrictions.
We have. But they're pretty, to me, they're significant cases where the damage is obvious.
Well, I also, Mr. Plumley makes a good point that if you get one, you might get six.
You could.
And
Mr. Peck?
Is there room for it on the north side of the bridge?
Applicant is shaking his head no.
No, sir.
Applicant is shaking their head no also. That's pretty locked up from the big bridge tunnel all the way up to Little Bridge. That's almost every possible spot has been taken unless we latch them onto the bridges themselves. So.
Well, given Mr. Plumley's comments, I'll make a motion that we deny Site 1 and accept Site 2.
Second it.
Seconded by Mr. Plumley. Comments on the motion? Ready to vote? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion carries. Site 1 is... Did you get the second on that, Kathy?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mr. Plumley, but you can
Yes,
that's correct.
All right. That's where we are. Site 1 is denied and Site 2 is approved. Go ahead.
Do I have a right to relocate, take another
location and come back before us with staff?
I won't lose this draft.
We're in a situation where if someone has been approved, even in December, they are required to at least buy the license. Probably now, or up to December, I should say, probably now the commission could indicate that this goes forward to 2013, because when you think about it, the 161 was met in 2012. Mr. Bender, his application was part of the 2012 161. So on the one hand, if he doesn't have something today, he could go into the lottery or something else for 2013 if the commission doesn't grant some type of waiver for him to have a license carryover from 2012 to 2013.
It seems to me that he made legitimate application for the net. He got the eligibility for the net legitimately. He hasn't been able to satisfy the commission as to where he wants to put it.
Right.
Commission ought to let him try to find another.
It should be his net. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You don't want him to lose that eligibility.
No. So. Do you want to modify the motion, or do you want me to make another
We can motion? Grant a waiver.
Do we need a motion on that?
I think that it would be my recommendation, just for the administrative record, to have a motion to reopen it, then make a substitute motion and vote on the substitute motion.
Or have a second motion.
Can we have just a second motion?
Yeah. You're worried that that first motion closed out and that could be challenged, so he wants to reopen the prior motion.
Because it was concluded, so now that case is like the case being closed. So it's just it's a formality. If the commission were to proceed the other way, that's fine, too. It's just a recommendation from council. I don't think we're going to see anything from it. But I get paid to be type A.
But I think you're just anticipating other objections to not carrying forward. So this is why we make it part of the same. So I would move to reopen the prior motion.
And I would second that. Second by Mr. Fox. Any objection? Motion carries.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fox.
I would move that we accept net 2 and deny net 1. But Mr. Bender will have another year in which to re-site, find a new site for his net 1.
I'm second that.
Second about Mr. Plum. Everyone's clear now.
Yes.
Good. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. That help you?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for bringing that up.